Hi, today we are going to interview Professor Naus. How is your day going?
My day is going great.
Can you tell
I'm happy to be here. I took the full day off of work because I knew if I went to work, I wouldn't be able to concentrate on what I had to do today because I was excited. This is one of my first presentations in a elementary school, so I was really excited to come here and get the presentation done and also talk to the radio club as well.
What was your presentation about?
My presentation was about anti-bullying and how to deal with bullies. And then the second half of my presentation involved Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is the art form that I practice and teach, and what I teach to children on how to deal with bullies using Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Can you tell us about your Jiu-Jitsu school?
Yes, I can. We are located on 25 Mohawk Avenue in Scotia, New York. We teach adults and we teach children. We also do different kinds of classes like kickboxing for kids and kickboxing for adults, women's self-defense, anti-bullying. We teach a lot of stuff there.
What time do some of the classes start?
Summer classes start. So our kids' classes are Mondays and Wednesdays from 5:15 to 6 p.m. Our adult classes are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. We have a day class on Thursday, 11:30 to 1. And then we have another adult class on Sunday morning, 8:30 in the morning to 10:30 in the morning. We also do kickboxing for kids at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays.
What can you tell us about each person's suit?
So when you say suit, you're referring to the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gi, which is spelled G-I. The gi is the uniform we wear. People sometimes refer to it as pajamas or whatever, but we call it gi. A lot of people like to personalize their gis. They like to put a lot of patches all over their gi, sponsors. We used to be, back in the early 2000s, Jiu-Jitsu was referred to as the NASCAR of grappling because we'd have advertisements all over our gis. I do not put any patches on my gi. I only wear Team Jacal gis, so I only have my professor's patches on my gis. But other people do wear a lot of other patches.
Wait, so you're a professor, but you have a professor?
Yes, so professor means teacher. So I am a teacher of a school. I'm a black belt teacher of a school. I have a person I learn from. So I learn from a teacher. So just like Mr. Rakus is a teacher here, he learned from a teacher when he went to college, and that person learned from a teacher. So everyone has a professor who is a professor. I've learned from somebody. Now I'm starting to teach people to be black belts as well.
Can you climb on top of people?
During jiu-jitsu matches and during training, we have a position called the mount. And it's just like what you'd think it is in terms of like riding a horse. You mount a horse. Each position in jiu-jitsu is assigned a point total. This is a sport. This is a self-defense art that's been turned into a sport. So each position has a point total assigned to it. So a takedown, if I wrestle you down to the ground, that's 2 points. If I get to the mount, that's 4 points. That's the most amount of points you can get. And the reason why they have that is the more advanced of the position it is, the more points. So if I have you, if I'm sitting on top of you, that is the most dominant position for me to be in. That's why it's 4 points. If I just take you down, it's 2 points because you can get back up. So yes, you can climb on top of somebody, yes.
If you sit on them, do you win?
No, you do not win, no. In fact, if you sit on somebody, you're not in the best position. The best position to control somebody would be if your knees would be on the ground and you're sitting on that person rather than your knees sitting like in a chair. You'd be easily be able to be knocked off.
You could control them if you put your knees on their stomach, right?
Yes, that's something called knee on belly. which is a very painful thing to have done to you. It's also something we teach the children to control somebody. Adult jiu-jitsu and kid jiu-jitsu is very different. Kids jiu-jitsu is meant to be able to contain somebody. If you really had to take it to the next level, we'll deal with it then. But it's really meant to be able to, if someone's attacking you, to be able to contain them so they can't continue to attack you.
What happens if the wrestler get off the mat?
So, if you're talking about competition, if you ever watch a competition on video, there's usually different colored squares, and then a square on the outside is a different color, and then another different color. So if you go outside that in a match, they'll stop the match and they'll bring you here. Reason being is because if you didn't, you'd be all over the place. So if you got to stay in that area. Now, if you continue to run out of the area, they could give you penalty points or they could disqualify you. If you leave the mat before you shake hands with the other guy or girl or before the ref's decision, they'll disqualify you, because a big part of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is respect and honor of the other people around you.
Do you have to wear shirts and jiu-jitsu?
Yes. So, you do in competition, in traditional Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competition, you do not wear a shirt underneath your gi, except for if you're a girl or a woman. So, in our classes, we require everyone to wear shirts or what we call rash guards, which is a wicking material. So basically it gets the moisture off you, but also covers you so you don't get any kind of mat burn or rash. It also helps you prevent from any kind of skin irritation. There's stuff called, I'm sure here they make you wash your hands all the time, right, because you don't want bacteria. So if the bacteria gets on the mat from someone, and then I roll there with I don't have a shirt on, now I have the bacteria on me. So we want to make sure we don't have any bacteria and infections, so that's why we make sure everyone has a clean gi, clean rash guard, their nails clipped. We want to make sure everyone has that kind of safety for your training partners.
How do you win or lose a match?
So, if we're talking about competition now, we're not talking about in a real life scenario, there's a couple ways of winning a match. So if you go the full time, which in jiu-jitsu, it varies. For children, it's 4 minutes. For adults, it's 5. For black belt adults, it's 10 minutes. If you go the entire distance, it's whoever has the most amount of points. Now remember, I talked about more dominant positions get more points. So whoever has the most amount of points at the end of the match, that would be the winner. The other way you can do is through submissions. There's a bunch of submissions, and what submissions in jiu-jitsu would be, the easiest way to explain it would be pushing someone's body in a position that they don't like it, and they would do what's called tapping. So they'd verbally say tap, or they would tap the person. The referee will stop the match. That person who tapped would be the loser. The person who put them in that position would be the winner. The reason why you tap is so you do not get hurt. The idea is not to hurt the person. Is basically the person that says, tap, that hurts, I was about to have something injured on me, so that's the end of the match, and the other person wins.
Can you tell us about the colors of the belts?
Yes. So, for kids, there's four colors. There's gray, yellow, green, and orange. And the reason being is that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu does not believe in giving black belts to kids. You have to be at least, I believe, 19 to achieve a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu. For adults, it's blue, purple, brown, black are the main belts. And then there's three other belts past that, which is called coral belt, which is red and black stripes around. You have to be in jiu-jitsu for 31 years after you received your black belt to get that belt. Then another, I don't remember if it's 7 or 10 years after that, is a red white belt, which is same thing, except for the black sections are now white. And then what is a red belt, which is the ultimate belt. There is no belt higher than that. So everything in kid jiu-jitsu is time released. Everything past black belt is time released. Everything for adults is how long your training and your progress.
Which belt is the farthest that you could get to?
Me personally? I could potentially get to a coral belt, which is the black-red belt. I will be 69 years old by the time I achieve that. So hopefully I make it. Past that, I would have to train something to be about 95 years old to get to a red belt. So I'd have to be pretty old in order to get to the next level of belts. But for me personally, it's I got my black belt. I got my black belt quickly. And I use my belt to help people that I really think need help, like kids and women and elderly people, that kind of thing. I want to make a positive impact on people's lives.
What do you do after you get all your belts?
For me personally, I'm going to kind of expand on that question. So I have a lot of medals at home. I've competed for almost 12 years now. I've competed all around the country. For me, medals are great. Medals are awesome. I show everyone on social media. I show my friends. I send pictures to my brothers that live in different parts of the country. And then I put them in a box because that day is over. Now I'm starting to look to the next competition. For my belts are very important to me. I never changed my belts. The white belt I started with is the white belt I ended with when I got promoted to blue belt. So I have a rack downstairs in my basement. That's not really like a dingy basement. It's like a finished basement. We spent a lot of time down there as a family. And I have a rack that has all my belts. So white, blue, purple, brown, black.
Do you know anyone that has the red belt?
I do. There's a bunch of people. Of the people who do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, only 3% of those people have a black belt. So to think that you'd have to go 40-plus years to get to a red belt is pretty special. So my professor, Professor Jucau, his uncle and both his uncles are red belts. So I've met them once. And then there's another gentleman down in New York City who is a red belt that I've met him. The nice thing about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is that these people who are famous, like LeBron James in basketball, is I have the opportunity to meet those people all the time. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a very open community, so you can really meet people who are superstars in that sport, and you have time to talk to them and interact with them. So it's a very fun sport to be in.
Have you had anyone with the highest belt yet? Like somebody have the highest belt? Like they have more belts?
Did myself? Yep. So my professor, he's a 6th degree black belt. That is 25 years he's been a black belt for. And like I said too. This young lady over here that I've met a lot of people who are very, very high up, people who have started the sports of jiu-jitsu and the self-defensive art of jiu-jitsu. And I've had the pleasure of meeting these people and having conversations with them.
Why do you have to wait so long to get a red belt?
So, going through jiu-jitsu, like I said before, for kids, We don't believe in giving a black belt. A black belt should be someone that can impact someone's life in a positive manner, right? So if you're 7, do you really think you can impact someone like Mr. Rakes' life in a positive manner? You could, accidentally, but in order to change that person's life, we have people who are students of mine that if it wasn't for my school and coming to us, would probably be in jail, would be in trouble, would be not doing as well in their life in general if it wasn't for jiu-jitsu. It really kind of saved their lives. So why does it take so long to get to black belt and then into red belt? Black belt, it usually takes on average 10 years. I got my black belt in 8 years, which is on the low end of the average. So it's almost quick I got my black belt. But some people have gotten in 4 years, 5 years. Once you get black belt, every single stripe after that is time-released. And it's basically to show respect to the people who are ahead of you. So if you see someone with 6 stripes on their black belt, they've been doing jiu-jitsu for a very long time. And you pay that person respect because they paved the way for you.
How long have you been teaching jiu-jitsu?
I've been teaching jiu-jitsu for 3 years now. I've had my school for 3 years where I trained before. I did a little bit of teaching, but I wasn't the primary teacher. Here at Team Jiu-Jitsu New York, me and my co-owner, we do the majority of teaching. So it's been about 3 years. We just had our 3rd-year anniversary.
How do you get new belt colors?
So, for like I said, for kids, you put in the time. You show up to class. You're present in class. You behave yourself. We're very big on helping out your parents, helping out each other, being good children, going to school, showing your teachers respect, that kind of thing. When you're an adult, it varies. It varies for how often you come, how good you do in tournaments, how quickly you learn the moves and that kind of thing. So it can vary. It all depends on the person and how much they put into it.
Can you pick up people?
Yeah. I mean, are we talking like in a competition? Yes, I can pick people up, but I cannot slam them down. So The rule in jiu-jitsu is that you must follow them down to the ground. So what's that?
Softly?
No, you can do it pretty roughly. But in this is competition now. I don't want everyone to go out and throw people on the ground, right? In competition, as long as I follow you to the ground, I can throw you to the ground as hard as I want. I cannot pick someone up and slam them on the ground, right? So I can't do like WWE wrestling or anything like that.
Why?
Why? Because jiu-jitsu is supposed to be a self-defense art.
It is defending yourself.
It is defending yourself, but at the same time, we want you or the competitors to be able to still compete. If I pick up someone, I'm 6'5". If I pick up someone above my head and slam them on the ground, they are going to be pretty injured.
It doesn't have to be above your head.
So right here. Slamming, even from 2 feet, 3 feet, if I pick someone up and I slam them down on concrete, on mats, whatever, their back is going to be injured. So we're looking to have a competition, but we're not looking to severely injure anybody.
What if it's not a competition?
That's up to your parents to tell them to see what the kind of force you're allowed to give or not
give. But if you're being attacked.
There's other ways to defend yourself than slamming somebody.
You have more time though, you can run.
Yeah, possibly.
How old do you have to be to wrestle?
To do what?
Jiu-jitsu.
So we start teaching at 4 years old. We're the only school in the area that teaches at 4 years old. For most people, 4-year-olds is pre-K. You're not even kindergarten yet. So we teach a lot of kids at 4 years old. We teach them how to listen, how to be organized. A lot of things we tell our kids is exactly what Mr. Rakus does. We don't tell you what to do. We give you a task, and we let you guys figure out how to do it yourself. So we'll have people get in 2 lines, and you have to make sure the lines are even. So a lot of the stuff they learn in jiu-jitsu, they can start to apply in school.
But sometimes when we were watching that video earlier, that was the girl that was 3 years old.
She was 10. She was 10 years old, but yeah.
No, but she started
up. Oh, yep, yeah. She started when she was, did it say 3 years old? Yeah, so like I said, that's, I'm pretty sure the video was in California. California, sometimes they do things a little earlier in terms of age. But for me, we usually don't start teaching until 4 year olds because at that time they can start to listen, and it's a little easier.
In jiu-jitsu, where is it? Is there lots of places where is it? It's in California. How many places?
It's all over the world. So, kind of give a little history lesson here again. The Gracies are the founding family of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. There's some other families, but they're the main ones. They came to this country and they started a school in Torrance, I think is the name of the city, in California. And through a competition, they became super popular, and then they started to expand from there across the country. But there are schools all over the world. There's personally my school, my team, we have 60 schools all over the country, in Spain, Portugal, England, Brazil, Mexico. Those, they're all over the place. So jiu-jitsu is a very popular sport right now.
How do you feel when you lose?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. That varies on how I lost and who I lost to. The explanation is going to be a little weird because if I lose to someone that I perceive to be better than I am, I'm okay with that. If they're just better than I am, I need to get better myself. If I go out there and I beat myself because I didn't train hard enough, I didn't watch what I ate, I didn't weightlift enough, I wasn't mentally prepared. I don't do this as a professional athlete, so you know I got to drive down to New York City a lot of times. So I got to make sure my wife, my kids are where they need to be. Drive 3 hours, get out of a car, start to stretch. There's a lot of things that I can come out and just be what we call flat in sports, basically not on my best game. Those are the days I really get down on myself if I lose, because I know I paid money, I took time away from my family and friends to go someplace, and I just didn't perform my best.
Do you get paid?
It depends. So I get paid by my students to teach. I have won a couple competitions where they paid me money. So in terms of that, I'm kind of a professional athlete kind of thing, but I don't do this. I have a regular job. I don't do this as a profession.
Can you bet on someone winning?
I don't think that happens, but I'm sure someone's bet on it before. I don't know of anyone that's actually bet on it before. But.
This is your second favorite sport. Cupcakes and donuts is gambling. Interesting.
Do people cheat in there?
Yeah, unfortunately they do. There are so before every competition, I have to go and I have to put my gi on, and they have to inspect my gi to make sure it's the right size and stuff like that, because people cheat. They make their sleeves too short. There's no extra fabric, that kind of stuff. They do moves that are considered to be illegal. So, yeah, the people do cheat sometimes.
What happens if you cheat?
It depends on the infraction. If I wear a gi that does not meet the rules, they say you have 5 to 10 minutes to go get a different gi. If not, you're disqualified. If you do an illegal move, you're disqualified. So think about this. If you go out to California, which is a lot of money, a long trip from here, and you go in there and you have a gi that doesn't fit you right, disqualification. Right? So you have to prepare yourself, make sure everything. I carry two gis. I'm a big guy. I don't have the odds of finding a gi that fit me someplace, small. So I bring two gis with me to make sure I don't have any of those issues.
Like when you like somebody like cheats and like they give them money because they think they didn't cheat, do they find out that they actually cheat and they take away their money?
I've never actually found that. Usually if the match is over, it's over. If they didn't catch them cheating at the time, then no, it's a done deal.
It's so upsetting.
Yes, it can be.
Are the refs always good?
Sometimes.
Finding stuff out?
Sometimes it depends on the competitions you go to. The bigger the competition, the better the referees are normally. But that's not always the case. Sometimes they miss it. I referee sometimes, and action's happening so fast that you may miss something. It's just the way it goes sometimes.
Can a referee help someone cheat?
They're not supposed to. I mean, the if you are refereeing your teammate, you're not supposed to referee your teammate. So normally it does not happen. It's very seldom that there is even an accusation of that.
I forgot what I was going to say.
How much do you practice?
How much do I practice? So I teach 2 nights a week during the week, and then I run the open mat. But just because I'm not at the academy doesn't mean I'm not actually training. So if I'm not at the school, I'm weightlifting. If I'm, or I'm going running, or I'm doing something to improve myself. So technically, I train every day. I just might not be doing jiu-jitsu that day. I may be doing something else.
Do you have time to spend with your family?
I do. So I don't teach on Fridays and Saturdays because of that reason.
Spend time.
Yeah, luckily for me, both my children, I have a daughter who's 9 and a son that's 6, and luckily they both do jiu-jitsu. So I get to teach them twice a day. And then we also do other activities such as basketball and that kind of thing. So we do get to spend time, but when I try to maximize the amount of time we can spend together.
Does your daughter, like any of your family, like is interested in jiu-jitsu? Like, do they want to do it? Do you teach them?
Yeah, I teach both my kids. I think it's important for kids to be able to defend themselves. There's the founder of jiu-jitsu is Elio Gracie, and he said that the three things that every child should know is how to swim, how to ride a bike, and how to defend themselves.
How old were you when you started teaching?
Well, when I started teaching, I was 38. I started doing jiu-jitsu when I was about 30. I'm 41 now.
Has anyone ever cheat against
you? Oh, yeah. And you just like in anything, you just have to kind of deal with it. And you're not allowed to speak to the referees in jiu-jitsu, so you just have to deal with it. That person may have done an illegal move or whatever, and you just got to keep going.
Did the referee find out?
What's that?
There's been a few times.
I had a match in Boston, Massachusetts. And the person did a move called reaping the knee, which is basically putting pressure on your knee. And that's illegal, and the referee called him and disqualified him.
And you won?
I did win by disqualification, yes.
What happens if you always lose every match?
Well, if you always lose?
Keep winning.
So there's a saying in jiu-jitsu that says you either win or you learn. All right, so just like in school. You may not get what's considered to be a passing grade, but now you know what you don't know. You know what moves you don't know. So you can now take what you don't know and you can work on that. I like competition. Competition is not for everybody. For me, competition shows me what I don't know or what I'm weak at. So now I go out there, I compete, and I lose. Well, I can either hang my head or I can say, I got beaten this position. Now I can go back to the gym, get my training partners, and I start working those positions over and over and over again. Like, if you're spelling and you don't know how to spell that word, well, you just go on and say, I'm just never going to spell that word again.
No,
you go home with your family or friends or whatever, and
you ask for help.
You just drill that word constantly, just try to spell that word until now it's in there. Now you're a stronger person for it.
This is like one of the same questions, like, what if every mat, like, you cheat? Do they kick you out?
I don't know if anyone, jiu-jitsu is a very honorable sport. Not to say that there aren't people who cheat, but there's not a lot of it. There's not a lot of people who cheat. There are people who fake their rank. They'll say that they're a black belt when they're actually not. Those people are usually found out, and they usually leave the sport. So honor is a big thing, right? It says around my shirt, honor, that's a big thing in our sport. Yeah. Is we respect everybody, you do everything and you're an honorable person.
It's like kind of to defend yourself in school.
Yep.
What are the areas you go to jiu-jitsu?
Yep, there you go. Good job. It's a very hard word to say. So I've had the pleasure of being able to compete all across the country. I've competed, just off the top of my head, I've competed in, obviously, New York, Boston, or Massachusetts, Jersey, Las Vegas, California. I've competed all over the place. I've had the opportunity to see a lot of cool things and a lot of cool places.
Do you guys ever have a break?
A break in terms of what?
Meaning, like, you have a month or a few weeks off?
So, like, a season you're talking about? No, we don't have a season. I train pretty much every week, every year, every month, for the full year. We just don't stop.
How about Christmas, Thanksgiving, Valentine's?
Yeah, we don't have class on the major holidays.
Okay.
Like Christmas and stuff like that.
Did you have class yesterday or no?
We did have class yesterday. For example, we didn't have kids class on Halloween, obviously. We did have adult class on Halloween because we do have some students who don't have children, so they weren't going to go out and trick-or-treating.
What are the consequences if you don't stop when your opponent taps out?
So, all right, so there's a couple things. So, from a competition, if your person taps and you don't release them, you could be disqualified. If you are in the school and the person taps and you don't stop, you may be thrown out of the school. All right, safety, the reason why you're able to tap is for your safety. So if you say tap, that's like saying I give up, right? The match is over. There's no reason to continue. You're obviously doing something that's hurting the person, and we want that person to be safe.
Where do you teach kids about bullying?
Well, we teach at 25 Mohawk Avenue, like we spoke about before. And we do that on Mondays and Wednesdays, and we talk about everything with the kids on those dates. Monday and Wednesday, 5:15 to 6 p.m.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy your time.
Thank you.